Blog Talk Radio.
I'll meet you in the shadow of my wing. I will. I'll meet you in the wildest of your dreams. I will. Winter's gone. Spring is now coming, my love.
Good morning. Welcome to Healing Life Show on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ken Burrell, and this is the Dream Part 2 with Dr. Sherry Furlow. And I'd like to welcome you this morning, Doc. Boy, that last show we had together was something else. I enjoyed it so much, and you are actually the first person I've asked to come back so quickly. So welcome back, Doc. How are you today?
Hey, Ken. I'm doing great. Thanks for having me again. I'm really excited to be with you this morning.
Well, you have such an awesome testimony, and I've shared it with a lot of my friends on Facebook. Y'all listen to this woman. Now, where we left off at, you were, refresh my memory, I know you were in heaven again.
Yes.
How'd you get there, and what happened?
Okay, how did I get there? That's a little story. But you know, the first thing before I go into that, Ken, the first thing I want to say is that when I speak about these experiences, there's one thing that I really desire for the listeners to know. I was never seeking an experience. I was seeking the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And out of the seeking of him, these experiences happened. And so I get a little hesitant about sharing them because I always want people to know that this was out of my heart's desire to know him. And as I mentioned last time, to be his friend. All I've ever really desired is to be a friend of God. And so these experiences and these visions and encounters and all of these things with the Lord Jesus Christ, comes out of desire for relationship. It's like in marriage, when you're seeking to know your spouse better, opportunity to know them to the depths of who they are, open up to you. And so that's that is how these things happen, and especially the thing that we're about to refresh from our last time together. I had been intently seeking the Lord, and it had, you know, last time I shared that in January of 2008, I had had a death experience and stood before the Lord, and I made a choice to return to the earth and to finish, well, you know, I don't even know to say to finish my assignment, but to be here to be about my Father's business. And so 3 months later, after the resurrection, when I was raised from the dead in the parking lot and made the choice to come back, I was in, once again, I was in Mobile, Alabama, and I had been at a White Dove Ministries conference that Paul Keith Davis was sponsoring, and Heidi Baker was there from Mozambique, and some local ministers from here in Alabama were also there. And I had been in a real place of brokenness, because after having died and made the decision to come back and being raised from the dead, and there was a seeking of the Lord on a level that I'd never known. And plus, I sometimes felt as though I were standing in the middle of the world, but I was all alone. And I'm sure that there are others that have had death experiences that, you know, may have felt that same way, because you suddenly entered into something that other people have difficulty understanding and a lot of times even accepting. As Christians, I find that Christians often have difficulty accepting that a person can be raised from the dead. But nonetheless, I was at the conference, and I had really been on the floor all day in prayer as some pretty miraculous things happened. Heidi Baker, as I said, was there from Mozambique, and she was bringing the word of the Lord. And at that conference, a spontaneous baptism broke out, 400 ministers rebaptized, deliverance, being healed, all kinds of things were going on. But on the day that I had this, I really say it's sort of like an Ezekiel experience, I had been just in the spirit with the Lord and really seeking him and crying out to him and praying in tongues all day. And so the group of people that I was with, we went to Logan's Restaurant on Government Street in Mobile, Alabama, to have a late lunch. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I had a major encounter with the Lord, and I was suddenly, through a word of a man that was in our group, he said, "I hear the Lord saying it's time for a new mission." And when he said it, I saw the words come out of his mouth in white fire, and they went straight into my belly. And in just a couple of minutes, I felt as though I was literally being pulled up by the hair of the head, and I found myself in a heavenly place with the Lord Jesus in the cloud of witnesses. And in that cloud of witnesses, I believe, which is so intricately tied to the destiny of Alabama, were Native Americans and African Americans. And the Lord came in to address that he was going to be balancing the spiritual books with our brothers and sisters of color, because there's only a certain amount that the civil government can do. There comes a time when Jesus himself has to answer the cries of everything that has not been answered. And of course, we know that from the book of Daniel, when it says that the Ancient of Days will be seated in the court of heaven and the books open, and he will legislate justice. And so on that day, he told me that, and I mentioned last time, and I feel like it's significant to mention again. My great-grandmother was a Native American, as was my grandfather, and they were in the cloud of witnesses. And significant people from the state of Alabama that had major impacts in the civil rights movement, including Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, and those precious little girls that died in the bombing at the Baptist Street in Birmingham. And even recently, you know, sometimes when these things happen to us, it's an unfolding revelation. I was actually in heaven for 35 earth minutes, and outside of time, that's a very, that in earth minutes versus eternity, I could have been there for a long, long time. But, and recently, the Lord, as I can go back into that and see faces, I scanned the crowd that was of the witnesses that were standing there. And I saw the face of Medgar Evers, which of course was a young black man in the civil rights movement that was murdered. And so they're just significant people. But here's one of the things that I want to say, that as the Lord himself was addressing this, this is what he said to me. Listen, we all have unanswered prayer. And even those, we know this from Hebrews 11 in the Great Hall of Faith chapter. All of the people listed there went into their eternal reward without having seen their promise completed. And that's the same thing with those that are there in the cloud of witnesses now. And the Lord made it very clear to me. He said, what is about to happen is an answer to their prayers. They have many prayers. They fought many earthly battles that were not completed here in the earth. And he has assigned a generation of people to make certain that the fulfillment of that promise, because apart from us, they will not see the fulfillment of what God gave them. Of course, we know that they're the biblical men and women, they didn't see the fullness of their promise either. But I believe that part of what's going on is that God is preparing to pour out the fullness of the promise. So where we left off is when I said, when he talked to me about that man's government had given a measure of civil justice, but that he was about to pour out his spiritual justice into the earth. And with that, I saw two angels walk over to the edge of heaven. How that works, I really don't know. The spirit realm is not like the natural realm, and more than one thing can be going on at one time. And so I saw, as it mentions in the book of Revelation, a bowl of incense that was filled, brimming incense. And these two angels walked over to the edge of heaven, and they poured it out. And I saw the prayers and the incense leave the bowl. But as it went into the earth, it hit the earth as fire, and it went down into the middle of our state. Of course, you know, everybody has something for their own state, but we know that Alabama is really called to lead the nation in many ways of prophetic fulfillment of what's going to happen in America. But
yes,
I saw the fire hit Alabama, and it spread out and engulfed the state. And from the state, it spread out. People came into the state of Alabama. They themselves became blazing fire, and they went out to different states. Then America became lit up. Then from America, the glory of God and the fire of the Holy Spirit went around the world. And so this great awakening that we're looking for, that we are expecting, I believe is intricately tied to these things. And God hears our prayers. He hears our prayers here in the earth, and he still hears the prayers of those that have gone on before us. And so I really speak that as a word of encouragement to those who have suffered greatly, who have lost their family members in a war for the rights of justice to come forth. God still hears. He is still hearing, and he is still answering. The question is, do we have ears to hear him? Do we have eyes to see what he's doing and how spiritual justice is coming about?
Well, you know, everything you just said about, you know, them pouring the embers out over the state of Alabama actually confirms what I have heard from the Lord. I know in 1939 there was a prophecy made about that exact thing happening here in the state of Alabama. And I believe with all my heart that it's true. I believe with all my heart that it's going to happen very, very soon. I'm not really good at guessing times because, it's like I tell people all the time, you never know what God's going to do. You just have to be ready for him to do it. But when you said that last show, you mentioned that, I tell you what, I got excited. The Holy Ghost hit me. I'm piling on the table. I'm like, yes, 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 yes. This is what I'm talking about. even though you were saying it, this is what I'm talking about.
It's true.
It's because I know that he said, in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh.
Yeah.
Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I believe we truly are about to step into the greatest outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the history of mankind. And just from my observances in the last year, six months, I've seen more and more and more people. I mean, personally, I've seen probably about 250, 260 miracles in the last 6 months. But there's people all over this country seeing the same exact things, the same kind of anointings, the same kinds of signs, miracles, and wonders. And it's happening all over the country. It's happening all over the world, actually. And I get excited when I see that because I know that this revival that's coming is a nameless, faceless revival. It's not about one, you know, it's not like one big, you know, evangelist doing his big show. It's not like in the days of A.A. Allen or William Branham. But what it is the sons and daughters of God stepping out into their destinies, which he predetermined before the foundations of the earth. And this revival is coming from everybody that is in tune with the Holy Spirit, listening to what he's saying to do, and walking out in the gifts and the calling. Which, of course, when we start doing that, the fire and the embers that you talked about that's being poured out on Alabama is going to spread like a fire across this nation, which will actually change this nation, because we're going to turn back to God. It's been prophesied. I believe Kim Clement even said something about it one time before he passed away. And I can't help but get excited when I hear somebody like you saying the same things that are in my spirit. I get excited over that because I'm like, yeah, I'm not the only one who's hearing this. Yay, Jesus.
Well, yes, it's true. It is true. We can sometimes begin to feel like we're the only one that hears these things. And you're like, well, am I crazy? Or is there anybody that's hearing this? And so I empathize with you, brother. I know. And sometimes, especially, I feel like that when we're carrying that inside of ourselves, and it's what gets me up in the morning, it's what drives me through my day, is this promise. And I know that sometimes people can look at me and say, my gosh, calm down already. Are you a zealot? And I'm like, yes.
Yes.
Zeal for my father's house has consumed me. And I just truly cannot help myself. I mean, every day, that's the thing. I could have stayed in heaven. And I'm like, if heaven is not going to come and touch the earth, which I believe that it is, I believe that all of the prayers since Jesus taught his disciples to pray, let your kingdom come, your will be done in the earth as it is written in heaven. That has
Amen.
Been stacking up since Jesus was here. And his kingdom is advancing. It is advancing into the earth. It's drawing near. It's causing things to fall apart. It's causing things to come together. So that's what gets me up every day. Otherwise, I could have just been in eternity with Jesus already. You know, I
understand. 30 odd years ago, we had a little home church up in Manistique, Michigan. And I always wait on the Holy Spirit to give me my messages when I preach. I'm not one of those guys who write it all out and have it all figured out with 7 points and seven more minor points. I just walk in and say, hey, and I used to tell the congregation, I said, hey, I'm hearing this for the first time too. You know, but there was one sermon that I'll always remember because it was almost like a vision where Jesus was standing on the threshold of heaven and he's looking down on the earth. And he said, Father, I want my bride. And I heard the Father say, soon, son, very, very soon. But I remember like it was yesterday, Father, I want my bride. I'm getting anointed. Just
talking. Oh, goodness. Yeah, yeah. Glory.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
And
thank
I can
Lord.
Say now, after 30 years, Father, the bride wants the groom.
Yes, yes, yes.
I know that is the desire of my heart. And here's why I believe this great revival is going to happen. First of all, he is coming for the bride, but she has to be blemish and wrinkle free. And there is nothing that any church or man can do to make that happen. The only thing in all creation that can make that happen is the Holy Spirit bringing the fire of God upon all of the bride, and that will remove the wrinkles and the blemishes, and unity will happen, because it'll be unity of the Spirit. It'll be God's will for us to become one, so the groom can come for a pure bride. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are making sense. That's correct. And see, I believe that we have to just position ourselves before him for that. And, you know, while we cannot make these things happen, I do believe that we have a role to play. And
Absolutely. Part
of that is, you know, I see a lot of Christians that outside of biblical prophecy, these things that we talk about, like, you know, Alabama set to lead the nation and these kind of things, those do have a contingency feature. And that's contingent on the body of Christ praying and putting the Father in remembrance of the things that he has spoken. And I find sometimes that we can become so complacent and lackadaisical in pursuing him to say, hey, you know, I'm knocking on the door because you have said that Alabama is going to lead the nation. You have said miracles, whatever those promises are. I heard Paul Kane from when he was a young man, and of course he did travel with the likes of A.A. Allen and those guys, William Branham, and those last great
generals,
single men of God. You know, these were like the ones that were opening the way for this nameless, faceless body to come. They were saying, they were like, hey, we are examples of what is going to be happening in a fuller measure, I believe. But I was so struck when I heard Paul Kane say that, and he was having this vision before stadiums existed. That's the part that struck me. He didn't have language for these stadiums that he saw filled with nameless, faceless people worshiping and glorifying God, and miracles all throughout with the thousands of people that were gathered. And the thing that struck me the most, and it just makes me want to weep, is that he said he saw the news and the newscasters saying something to the effect of there's only good news to report because God is in the land. Come on. When was the last time you heard a news report that was only good news? I mean, I am like, come on, Lord, bring it. I mean, I would love nothing more than for every news person to be saying there is good news in the land. There are miracles, signs, and wonders. There is nothing bad to report because God is in the land. That is amazing. That is amazing. And I'm that should get you up in the morning. I mean, listen, there's so many reports now, you know, children being abducted, young people being abducted, parents killing their children, all of these, and we won't even go into all the laws of the land, but these are the things that the Lord told us were going to happen. And yet we seem to be astounded by it. And so I'm like, Lord, I'm holding on to your words, to your promises. And listen, I was so honored to be able one morning on New Year's Day of 2009 to sit with a gentleman named Wade Taylor. I don't know if you're familiar with Wade. He has returned to heaven, but he wrote a book called The Secret to the Stairs. And when I read it, it was just absolutely amazing. It's about intimacy with Jesus. But I went to hear him at a meeting on New Year's Eve of 2008 going into 2009. So truly 2008 was a very significant year in my personal life and in the lives of others that I know. And one of the things that was in my heart is because, see, the Word tells us that God's throne sits on the pillars of righteousness and justice. And I've really been seeking him. What is it going to look like for justice to return? And so I got up early on New Year's morning, and I went downstairs to the hotel restaurant, and Wade was there, and he invited me to sit with him. And that was a heart's desire. When we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desire of our heart. Because when I read his book, I said, oh, Lord, I would love to sit with this man and talk with him. And there we have it, and I'm sitting with him. And he kept saying this one thing to me, and it stuck with me. He said, just as at the turn of the century in the 1900s, one woman in Arkansas got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit flew around the world. And he said, so it will be. One person will experience a transfiguration where the Lord Jesus lights that person up, and the sons of God will be awakened throughout the earth. And I was like, and he kept saying, he said, then you will see justice with consequence. And I was like, that's what I'm looking for, is his justice with consequence. And I'm not talking about bad consequences. We are so programmed in the earth to think that justice is bad or judgment is bad, when it's not. When God's judgments are in the earth, it causes the people to rejoice. And listen, if our loved ones are suddenly healed and made whole, that is a judgment. That is a spiritual justice. That is God receiving the rewards for his sufferings. That is Jesus getting back what he paid for on the cross. That's what I'm looking for, Ken. I am looking for Jesus to receive the rewards for all that he suffered for. I mean, he died that we might live. And I will tell you, I believe that we are seeing spiritual justice being poured out. I believe that we are seeing it. The question is, are we recognizing it? Are we recognizing these things? Because I will tell you, I'm seeing some things in the earth, but I am so saddened by what I hear Christians saying about it. Oh, well, I don't believe that that's a full this or a full that, and I'm not going to believe it until I see this, and I'm not going to see that. And I'm like, wait a minute. The fruit of the Lord is goodness. And these things that are happening are bearing goodness in the earth. And let's be careful that we don't ascribe to Satan something that God is doing. And I always remember back in the book of John, when the people were seeking signs and all, and Jesus, he's telling the people, he said, don't work for the food that perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. And they said to him, what shall we do so that we may work the works of God? This is one of my favorite scriptures, John 6:29. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. And I believe right now, Ken, that there are those that are being sent. They're being sent out of the dungeons. They're being brought out of the cave. They're being delivered out of serious captivity.
Yes.
And Jesus has saved them. Now they're sharing the good news. People are flocking to Jesus. And we're going, wait a minute, is this? I'm like, wait, listen, if Jesus is being lifted up, I assure you, Satan doesn't desire to lift up the name of Jesus. That is not his purpose. And so I am encouraged to see those that are being delivered out of darkness into his marvelous light. And they're saying, hey, this man Jesus, he has done something for me. He has done something for me. And they have influence in the earth. And they're using that influence to spread the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I am like, let's build a throne of praise that Jesus can be enthroned on. And I'm so grateful that I was raised up in the kingdom at a time when the internet and cell phones weren't everywhere, because every time I fell down and skinned my knee as a new believer, it wasn't broadcast all over the world to say, hey, look, she's probably really not saved. I'm waiting to see this before I can believe it. Because, oh, my goodness, thank goodness that my sins weren't all over media. Because we can all fall down. But the thing is, the blood gets us back up. It's the blood of Jesus that gets us back up. It's the blood of Jesus that got me up. It's the blood of Jesus that got you up. And it's going to be the blood of Jesus that awakens the nation. And nothing else. Nothing else.
Amen.
The blood that has redeemed us is going to wake us up.
So true. So true. Do you recall me telling you about the guy that had the leg one shorter than the other, about 6-inch difference?
I do recall.
I don't know if I had the chance to tell you, but I think after our show, I got a phone call from the evangelist that was there. And he said that man returned to the revival. Said he came back walking straight, dressed up in new clothes, talking in his right mind, and came back for more prayer. And I thought, wow, thank you, Jesus. Because a lot of times I never hear from people after they get healed. But for him to come back seeking God, and 2 weeks before he was out cussing God, and then he comes back seeking God, that is part of what's happening, you know?
Yes.
It is truly
is
what's happening. Now, that man's going to affect other people's lives because God healed him without prayer. I'm just amazed at the things that are. It's mind-boggling. It really is.
It truly is. And I believe that part of what we are about to do is to be absolutely wowed by God. I believe that He is going to do things that we will not be able to do anything but stand in utter amazement. Now
I can attest. I can testify that's true. Been there a few times already.
Right. Well, me too. I mean, I had an encounter with him this past week, and again, like I said, I was seeking him, I was worshiping him, and I found myself caught into him. And one of the things that I believe that we are about to see is his worthiness. And I was caught inside of him, because I was declaring in worship, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb of God, worthy. And I was caught into him, and I don't know how to describe it to you. I really don't have. I don't have earthly words, but I was caught into his worthiness. And Ken, I have to tell you, I was undone. I was completely undone. My body shook. My mind was rattled because I saw his utter worthiness. And my utter unworthiness in light of who he is, we have been brought near and made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And I believe that's one of the things that we're going to see is the worthiness, because his worthiness will wow us. I could not speak because I was in light of him, and some people go, don't be falsely humble. It has nothing to do with a false humility. I'm telling you, in light of him, I thought, who am I? Who am I that you would even be mindful of me?
Amen.
And I mean, really, if the magnitude of his worthiness, and I will say this, I recognized that we as believers can believe somehow that we are deserving of him, even in our walk with him. And I'm just here to tell you, there is nothing that I have done that deserves any part of him. It is only his utter worthiness, his love, his absolute desire for me to belong to him. That is the only thing. I have nothing else. I am nothing else. I have been blood bought by him and his worthiness. And I believe that there's going to be an awareness and an awakening come to the body of Christ, especially, especially among charismatic, Pentecostals, those who move in the gifts of the Spirit and those kind of things, because I think that we're about to see that apart from him, we could do none of that.
Amen. That's
true. It's him. It's him. He is the only worthy one. And every one of us, those 250-something miracles, words of knowledge, all the healings that have taken place, they have taken place because of his worthiness. And I believe he's about to astound us with his goodness, wow us with his worthiness. And I believe that that's how a nameless, faceless generation will live and move and have their being in him, with him fully enthroned as our head and the government resting on our shoulders, and what he looks at, we will look at, and what he does, we will do. We will go where he says go. We will stand still when he says stand still. And I believe that it is the revelation of his worthiness and his headship that will cause that to happen, that we will begin to move as one great body in his kingdom, doing what he does, going where he goes, saying what he says, and that our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, will be opened to him and to his wonder, to his amazement, to his goodness, but to his worthiness, to his worthiness. I believe that's what we're going to see.
And when we come to the realization of what you said as being absolute truth, and we understand that we are his children, not just with all the inherited rights that come with it, but not only are we his children, but we are his servants. And when we learn to look at people through the eyes of Christ, which I just had a good lesson in that with the guy with the legs.
Yeah.
Because God saw him standing there with clarity of mind, healed and seeking the Lord, when I saw a guy taking God's name in vain. All right.
Yeah.
It taught me a lesson. I have to look past those things. We must look past those things as servants. But in 2 Corinthians, it says that we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, God, and they shall be my people. And when he dwells in us and he walks with us, he orders our steps, and he provides us opportunities to show the power of the living God. You know, I tell people all the time, my dream is show and tell. God shows up, shows off, and then we tell people why. You know?
Yes, I love show and tell.
I know. That's my dream. That's, you know, let's do show and tell. And I know that it's coming. We were talking earlier, and you had said something about, you know, you and I have a similar vision. But I can tell you that I have apostles and prophets all across the country that are friends of mine, and I have talked to them individually, and they're all on the same page. We're all seeing the same thing. We're all seeing the same thing. Now, is that coincidental? I don't think so. I think that is the guidance of the Holy Spirit showing us that this is about to happen. And it is exciting to me, absolutely exciting, to see these things come to pass. I know, personally, I have never been worthy. I don't understand why God would choose me to do anything, but very thankful that he has. Very thankful to see lives changed because of his power and his glory and his honor. You know, I get amazed every day. There's not a day that goes by that God does not amaze me in one way or the other. There are some days that he amazes me so much that I'm shook. My brain is rattling around going, wow, what did he just do?
I agree. And, you know, that when we're on that same page, that reminds me of the dedication of Solomon's temple. And, you know, when the priests and the people were all gathered in one place, in one accord, and they began to declare, for the Lord is good, and his mercy endures forever. See, I believe that's a foreshadowing of what we're speaking of when we're all talking from the same page, saying the same thing. And it says that the glory of God descended into the temple that day, so much so that the priest couldn't even stand. And I believe that is a type and a shadow of what's going to happen at the end, because that temple, we are now that temple, and that glory is going to fill us. And when we are all saying the same thing, raising up the same sound, the same frequency, I believe that we are going to see that same thing, because the tabernacle of God is now with men, and he's
Amen.
Going to live and be amongst us. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for voices that are all saying the same thing, and that we're all seeing the same thing. Because, you know as well as I do, in the last years, there hasn't been that unity, but it is emerging. It is
that
emerging,
it is.
And that's encouraging to me to hear the voices saying the same thing. And not only that, but to hunger and thirst after righteousness and to have that same desire for him. Because, see, I think that's what it is. We have to have a desire for him. And I believe that a lot of times that there are circumstances that come into the world that he allows those things so that we will hunger after him and thirst after him and seek him. And keep seeking and keep knocking and keep knocking and keep knocking and not going away until he opens the door. And so I'm encouraged to hear. I'm not out there talking with a lot of leaders. I listen to a lot of leaders. I'm friends with some, but I'm not out there like you are doing this broadcast and other things. I'm more in a place of bringing healing to families, because I believe that the family is so important to God. I mean, he sent Jesus so he could have his family back.
Amen.
And if you know, God desired, he desired us so much that he sent Jesus to say, son, that's my family going, you know, I want my family back. And he sent him here to die so that by his blood we could rightfully enter in to our Father's house. and to fellowship with him. And so I believe that, I know that for my part here in the body of Christ and here at the Dream Center, that's our focus is on healing the family. We not only enabling and empowering the body of Christ to move in the beautiful expression of the gifts that he's given in the anointings and callings, but we have wounded family units. We have homes with no fathers, homes with no mothers. We have children with no families. The great family of God, so many of the great family of God are still outside of his house because they're so wounded. They're so hurt. They've had so many things happen to them. And here at the Dream Center, that's part of what the Lord has commissioned us. And I know that you had my friend Janet Bird on, and she's a great woman of God, and she moves in such power and authority where land is concerned. And she came here to the Dream Center about 15 months ago, and she lived here on the property with us for a while. And one of the things that she did was we began to move in repentance over the property. But the thing was, she said the Lord wants to open a well of wellness. And of course, that's my heart, is that we would be healed, body, soul, and spirit. But just like what you spoke of the man with the leg that was shorter, you know, we see things one way, but God sees them another. And so that's one of my, I said, Lord, let me see people as you see them. Let me see how you see. Let my heart discern what you discern, so that I'm not judging someone, but offering, breaking the bread of the Lord Jesus Christ and giving it to them. And so here we have people that have come out of addictions. And so, you know, we have ministry to those that are addicted. You know, we have, of course, the body of Christ. We do a lot of training of the body of Christ, especially in their gifts, in their giftings, and calling them out and teaching to prophesy and interpret dreams. Or if you come out of trauma, then we help you to be healed from that, and then to train you to help others that are in trauma. We have a small school here where I really say we have a small partnership school, but what I really have is a hospital for children, where we minister to them on a daily basis over, you know, the hurts and pains of being children, because the children of the world are in a great deal of pain, and they are the first ones that will run to Jesus if you tell them the truth. Children long to know the truth. So that's part of what, so I'm not out there in the conference circles and that kind of things. I'm really right here impacting, you know, on a family level and restoring and reconciling families. That's my heart's desire, is for God's family to be healed and whole. And sometimes you have to help them get the wounds of their soul and their body healed so that he can claim them spiritually, which is what you said happened with the man. You know, listen, yes. God came, Jesus swooped in right in that moment, lengthened his leg, healed his body, set him free, and he came back to feast at the table of the Lord. And that's amazing. What we're looking for. Yes, it is.
Considering that neither Eugene or I even prayed for the man, God just did it, you know, without.
I know,
but you know, God,
is it amazing?
It is, you know. Trying to think of a verse here that he says that he answers before we even call.
Yeah.
He's already answered our prayers. We just have to wait upon him. You know, in Isaiah 40:31, it says, those who wait upon the Lord, he'll renew their strength. Well, I'm a living example of that. You know, I feel, I'm 66 years old. I feel like I'm 29, you know, and I'm healthy, and I'm healthy. I just had to, you know, get my Medicare supplements here lately, and And people find it hard to believe that I'm at my age. I take no medications whatsoever. Don't need them. I'm healthy, happy, and terrific. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I mean, I had one guy call me. He could not believe. And when I, he says, what, you taking no medications? I said, what, you didn't hear me the first time? I'm not taking any medications. I walk in divine health because there are 8,500 and some promises in the Bible. And every one of them are yes and amen. And one of them is that you can walk in divine health.
Yes.
So I walk in it. And I walk in divine protection because he promised it. You know, I don't have an iota of worthiness in my body. But because of what he did upon the cross.
That's right.
I can walk in his promises. In fact, all of us can. Hello, people. Are you listening? All of us can. You know?
That's right. There's nothing special about me.
No.
There's nothing special about you. There's nothing special about me. The only one that's special is Jesus.
Yes.
And we can have him and his promises.
You know, recently I had somebody was out there in Facebook land saying that I was a snake oil salesman and I was taking the glory of God for myself. Well, I had a laugh at that. I laughed at the first part. The second part is not funny to me because, first of all, I would never. I am too afraid of the Lord God to even try to touch his glory. That is his and his alone, and it always has been, it always will be, and I will always give him glory because I know as you said a minute ago, has nothing to do with us. It's him.
That's right.
And as far as the snake oil salesman, please show me that web page. I'd like to, you know, if they're going to monetize it, I want to get my fair share, you know.
That's right. But, that's right. And I'm with you, Ken. I said, you know what, Lord, you pour your glory, and I will never touch it.
I'm afraid to.
I will not. No, absolutely. I just would not choose to grieve his heart like that. I mean, that's the whole thing is my choices are based on not grieving him because he's too precious.
Amen.
He's just too precious.
The great General Catherine Coleman used to say, please don't grieve the Holy Spirit. He's all that I have.
Yes.
And I feel the same way. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. I know I have in my past. Thank God he's forgiven it. He's put me on a new path. I'm excited about it. I'm running this race to win it. I know I don't have that many more years left. And my prayer is thy kingdom come. I would like to miss this death thing and just see him return. But even if he takes me in death, I'm running this race. And I actually advise everybody to do this. Run the race 110%. You know, only one person can take a prize in the race. So you have to run the race like you're going to take the prize. You know?
Right.
And I guess what I'm trying to say in essence is if we as believers give 100% to God, after all, he thought we were to die for. We will see more and more and more of his power and his outpouring just because we're willing to volunteer to do what he wants us to do. You know, somebody asked me one day, he said, Ken, how do you build a ministry? I said, it's real easy. You get up in the morning, you thank God for getting up, volunteer for anything he's got for you. At the night, go to bed, thank him for the day, repeat the process. Each and every day, because what happens is every day he will pour something new in. He will do something different. It's never the same. It's always different. All you have to do is be willing to walk it out. Am I making any sense?
Yes. And you know what? His tender mercies were new this morning when we got up. And I'm so grateful for that, that he greets me with his mercies every single morning. And yes, every day is different. And you just have to be willing to follow his still small voice, go where he leads, and say yes to the things that he's saying yes to and no to the things he's not. And we often don't want to talk about the things that he says no to. And we have to choose. That's the whole thing. We have a power to choose. We have the power to choose. And I have chosen him, and he has chosen me, and I'm okay with that. And I'm saying yes to him and to all the things that he says yes to. And I'm just expectant of all of the things that he has promised. I'm going to see them.
Well, and Doc, we've only got a few minutes left, but it looks like we have a guest calling in. Hello, you on there?
Yeah, I'm always here. I just listen to you guys.
Oh, okay. I thought you called in just to converse with us too, because you're welcome to do that.
No. I'm listening to your conversation. I'm listening to the Dream Center's the vision that he's given them out there. You know, in the process of you speaking, you know, I'm wanted to just dress myself. You know, I'm Charles Ellis out here in Dallas, and I was just getting ready to go forth and do some things, and I just happened to go through and getting ready to go on one of the shows I have myself. But just kind of caught your voice. You know, the Lord just kind of led me over to there. And I was listening
praise
to the representative of the Dream Center talking about, and there's a process he just wanted to be able to do. He wanted to do what God called them to do. And one thing about, you know, being a ex-NFL player, college player, one thing we always learn, if a coach has something for you designed to run, you don't run anything other than what he tells you to run. You stay in your lane,
right.
And you do your part. And you said something a minute ago about the process, you don't have many years late, you know, left. Well, God makes that decision according to what you really want to do. No life is cut short until you command what you want. He said you call things in position to be not to if they were. And when you speak things according to what God can use you where you are, and then you don't worry about your opponent. If the enemy is coming on the field to tell you sell the snake oil, then guess what? When you're on the lines of the field, you don't pay attention to the audience because that's a distraction.
You're right.
You're on the field, you're doing your work. You stay in your lane and do what you're supposed to. It doesn't matter what the crowd say. You're down there wearing your uniform for the kingdom, and you do your work.
I took it this way, bro.
Yeah.
I must be doing something right if the devil got to go there and lie on me. You know, it don't bother me that much. I let it go as soon as I heard it. But I get excited
right.
that I must be doing something right, or we wouldn't have these discussions today, because God is so good to all of us. And I want to thank you for calling in today. We only got a couple of minutes left, so I want to try to give Dr. Sherry the last couple of minutes here. So, Dr. Sherry,
yes, please do.
Speak on, sister, speak on.
Thank you. Well, I'm very honored, Ken, to have shared this time with you, especially last weekend, this week. What a complete and unexpected blessing. And so I pray above all else that God be glorified through our time together. And I choose to encourage the listeners, wherever they are, wherever you are today. One of the things I can remember when I was a young Christian is that I would listen to other people talk and I would think, oh, I could never, I couldn't do that. Yes, you can. And let me say this, whatever we do, let's do it unto the Lord. You know, if you're a parent at home with your child and you are caring for that child, do it unto the Lord, because that child is precious. If you're a server at a restaurant, a cook, whatever, wherever you are, those things are sacred to the Lord. Do your work unto him. Don't do it unto men. Do it unto him, because it's the Father in heaven that sees what it is that we do. So our heart toward those that we serve, those that we love, those that we give to even when we don't receive, those that we serve who may not appreciate it. It's when we see Jesus as the one who is receiving all that we do, that's our ultimate life goal, is to know him, to know him intimately, and to be as he is. And I do want to say that the desires of our heart are so important. And I can remember being in the fourth grade in elementary school and saying, I just want to be someone who helps to heal families when I grow up. And I believe that God heard that and has placed me in that. So what the desire of your heart is, the Lord hears it and he moves it. I just pray that you recognize it when he brings it in whatever form it is. And I bless you today in Jesus' name.
And I bless you also in Jesus' name. And God will give you the desires of your heart. This is true. He may change the desires of your heart before he gives it to you, but he will do it. God bless each and every one of you for listening today. This has been the Healing Light Show. I want to thank Reverend Stan Shell for giving us this platform. God bless you. Be blessed and be a blessing.
Well done.
Baby.